Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from the book of Proverbs. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out. To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, are the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker. And I was daily in his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inherited world, in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 8 responsibly. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children. You have set up a fortress against your enemies, to silence the foe and avenger.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, you have set in their courses.
What are your mortals that you should be mindful of them? Human beings that you should care for them.
Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All flocks and cattle, even the beasts, wild beasts of the field.
The birds of the air, fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The New Testament reading is from Romans. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given us. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Every year, at about this time, the jokes start to fly around Facebook among church professionals. The central question is this: Can the preacher be able to preach about the Holy Trinity without wandering into heresy? Some of you have heard me tell stories of seminary classes in which my classmates and I were asked to offer up the metaphors that we had used to teach about the Holy Trinity. And we would offer those different metaphors. You know them from vacation Bible school and Sunday school and all those different places. And we would offer those up, and the professor knew those metaphors very well as well. And she would swat them down and say, heresy, and then name which heresy applied in that case. You see, when the church talks about the Holy Trinity, generations of people acknowledge a deep mystery. And yes, too often the church leaders fall back on mystery as an answer to cover the inexplicable in Christian faith. Referencing mystery can be a way to gloss over difficult questions and difficult answers. You see, from Scripture today, we hear God revealed by Lady Wisdom as the creator of all things. We hear Paul announce that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, and that God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The author of John's Gospel relates Jesus teaching his disciples on that last night before being betrayed, before being put on trial, before being crucified. Jesus promises those disciples at that time the Spirit of Truth. This Spirit of Truth will reveal all of God's glory in due time. John's Gospel reveals God, who is divine parent, Spirit, and Jesus the Son, in one tidy yet brief passage. In truth, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is the church's way of articulating the many ways that God's presence, God's activity, God's grace are revealed through Scripture and in the experience of the faithful. It is notable that the prayer of the day for this festival acknowledges four key concerns that emerge in relationship with God. Listen again to this prayer. Keep us steadfast in this faith. Defend us in all adversity. Bring us into your presence where you live in endless joy and love. The church's prayer for this day is about and for steadfast faith. And in this, the faithful acknowledge that, well, this belief, this trust, this way of being is a dynamic way of living. Too easily, one may wander away, may falter, may become disillusioned. Some of the greatest expressions of faith come in hymns and songs that assert this faith in the face of calamity, in the face of plague, in the face of conflict, in the face of crushing despair. On this day, the church prays for faith that is unwavering. The church's prayer for this day is that the faithful be defended in adversity. To be sure, adversity can come in many ways. Certainly, all categories of natural disaster and war, economic crisis, ecological crisis, physical, mental, and spiritual crisis, all represent the adversity the faithful meet daily in this world. At Synod Assembly this past week, Cynthia Moe Lobita noted that in many ways the Christian tradition is grounded in a call to justice, whether that justice be around care for creation or love for neighbor. This grounding in justice also can bring conflict. People of faith for millennia have confronted the reality that seeking justice, God's justice, brings individuals and communities into conflict on many levels. Too often, individuals, congregations, groups of all sizes and constellation are conflict avoidant. From this, there can be a failure to address the needs for this time. As this church prays for defense in all adversity, this church also prays that God, who is revealed in myriad ways, would bring all the faithful into God's very own presence. That in diversity and adversity and conflict, we may listen deeply to one another. In the affirmation of baptism, each one of the faithful are called to seek justice and peace in all the earth. Justice work brings humanity into conflict with so many impulses that would separate us from God's ways, from God's desires, from God's hope. Indeed, some believe that in such conflict, we are drawn away from God's presence and love. And yet in Romans, Paul reminds us, indeed asserts, that there is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. To be sure, on this day, the church prays that all creation be in God's presence, where God lives in endless joy and love. This love is a steely love that seeks the well-being for all people, indeed for all creation. This week I watched and listened as the Spirit moved among the Synod Assembly. I heard voting members from this congregation begin to imagine new and renewed calls to ministry, to be God's presence in Colombia, to care for creation, to be steadfast in faith, bold with humility in the face of adversity, and to live with the confidence of God's joy and love poured into our hearts. Indeed, we pray, keep us steadfast in this faith. Defend us in all adversity. Bring us to your presence where you live, O God, in endless joy and love. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.